We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, Grinders! Welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're going to follow me on Twitter. And it's Thursday, March 7th. We'll be taking a look at the big 12 game NHL DFS slate tonight on DraftKings. There's also NBA tonight. Feel free to tune into Grinders Live later today and Crunch Time. They'll take care of you. 5 o'clock Eastern. Followed by Crunch Time at 6:15 or so. Join with me, who will also be on that for NBA. You have a busy day today. It's TJ Zwarich. Is it still freezing in Saskatchewan? Has it gotten up to positive integers? Is it still negative? Whatever.
It is still in the negative integers right now. It is -23. We got one more cold day tomorrow where it's supposed to be about -15, and then every day from for the next like 10 days after that is looking like it's going to be above 30.
Okay, well, if it's cold, that means it puts you in the hockey mindset.
Exactly, right? gets me ready to go. Right, I can just walk outside, grab a stick, and there's 12 people playing right there.
Right, and also, to help you get in the hockey mindset, you should join the Roto Grinders Discord. We have an NHL channel in there, the best place for your analysis, news, everything gets posted in there. Projections get updated a bunch of times. Obviously, if you want our premium NHL projections or any of our premium projections, our ownership, lineup HQ, Sim Labs, everything, premium content, sign up for a Roto Grinders subscription. Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. I just started looking at this slate earlier in the morning. Not as clear cut as, I mean, it's a 12 game slate. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of choices. But unlike our Tuesday show, there were kind of like two or three very, very obvious spots. And I'm not convinced that there's going to be any one team that is like dramatic, any one line. I think a better way of putting it, that's going to be dramatically owned. Like, I don't think we can get a 20% owned line today, but topping the list, if we go to our starting lineups page, right, just to take a look, based on our initial projections, it seems like from a value perspective in the mid range, two teams that maybe popular for rightful reasons. They have great matchups. not the not my favorite of teams to play. My recurring theme on playing NHL DFS, especially for smaller field contests, is that I traditionally don't prefer the teams where they spread out the ice time a lot, and the even strength correlation to the power play is a little bit disjointed. But two teams today are in very good spots, and that's the Los Angeles Kings against the Ottawa Senators, who are just awful defensively, awful on the penalty kill. The Kings prices are like there's no one over 6K. And the problem is that like you could legitimately play any of their top three lines. I mean, line three, little iffy, but power play one, power play two, they got, you know, defenders in there. Like there's a lot of people to play. You could play Kopitar, Byfield, Turcotte. You could play Denault, Moore, Fiala. You could play Dubois. You could play the power play one guys. The Kings could put up five goals, and then you could look at your lineup but still have snowflakes because you didn't pick the right guys. And I think another team that's like that, that may be popular and in a good spot today, are the Carolina Hurricanes. So you got, you know, you it's very, very consistent playing NHL DFS that, you know, you play Martin Nekas and then Seth Jarvis scores. Or you play Svechnikov and Teravainen scores. And then line four scores a goal out of nowhere. And then you have multiple defenders to choose from. And one, the guy that you chose has two blocks and nothing else. And the guy that you didn't choose has two assists and a three block bonus. What are your thoughts, TJ, on these two teams? Because if you were to play Carolina or LA, I mean, I could probably show you like 20 different ways to play these teams on a 12 game slate. I'm not a huge fan of like taking a stand and then getting the team right and then still losing.
Yeah, that is a tough thing, especially on a 12 game slate where it's like, if the slate's smaller, typically what I'll do in that situation is if I really like LA, for example, and I do like them more than Carolina, I think. And so say I really liked LA, what I would be doing would each team I have, I play three lineups is typically what I do in NHL. I would have one stack of the line one, one stack of the line two, and one stack of the line three, or sort it by power play, but probably three different ones. And then I would, because they're so cheap, I'd be using them to pair with my more expensive stacks. You know, I would get my Minnesota or Edmonton or Tampa with their line three. And then I would maybe have the Islanders, someone a little cheaper with line one, something like that. But on a 12 game slate, it does kind of have me considering maybe we just fade them. You know, like maybe I just, if they are going to end up chalky, I might just go underweight because they are going to be tough to figure out which line it is that does it. I would maybe pivot if the ownership is going to, I don't know where the ownership is going to stack out this early in the day, but I would maybe look to pivot to a team like Pittsburgh, who has really strong power play one correlation right now. Lars Eller is a salary saver with Raquel as a salary saver on line one with Crosby. They're kind of rating out as the next best value line behind these Kings guys today. So if they do have a big ownership difference, I have no problem just pivoting to Pittsburgh.
Right. I had success on Tuesday. I had a great line. I had the Pittsburgh two with I don't know who else went off with Dallas. Right, that Dallas line that went off with Stankoven and everything, and of course I had Jake Ettinger in my lineup. In the
Stankoven has become our guy.
Ain't gonna cut it at goalkeeper. I'm sitting there going, I think I could do it, and no, minus 11 and a half. I think the another byproduct of playing the Penguins today, I'm okay with, right. I think from a value perspective, they're fine. I think Darcy Kuemper may be maybe one of the more popular goalkeepers on the slate.
And I know.
Remember, it's a 12 game slate. I don't think there's going to be any goalie that's like 20%+ owned. But if there's going to be someone that maybe 10% owned, 12% owned, maybe $7,400 Kuemper will be. So That'll give you a little extra leverage. I just don't think the Penguins are necessarily in a position today to score like six goals against the Capitals, but obviously any team could go off. I think playing, you know, Raquel or Eller as a one-off, or Carlson as a one-off or something like that.
My favorite thing to do with them is probably going to be an Eller, Raquel, Pustinen mini sack, because that's super cheap. You can do that playing them with another top team, and Pustinen is playing on power play one right now. And so that would probably be my favorite way to go about it, is the two cheap guys on line one, you add in a cheap guy on line two that all play on the power play together. And just,
and how about
Crosby.
The Hurricanes? We're in the same spot with the Hurricanes, just like the LA Kings. Montreal, bad defense, bad penalty kill. The issue here is, am I going to sink more money into Michael Bunting? I've been playing him as like a one-off so many times, and he ends up with nothing. These guys really have no floor. Like, yeah. Sebastian Aho probably is the best floor, but of course he's 7K. But Svechnikov, he may get three or four shots off, but if it doesn't score, he's no good.
Line two would probably be my favorite one to stack here, just because of how cheap they are. Having said that, I think I'm more likely today to play Molton Bolt as opposed to the Carolina Hurricanes. I think he is likely going to be my favorite cheap goalie on the slate. There's just so much you can do with a $6,900 goalie. So, especially if we see guys like Darcy Kemper and Ersan get pick up big ownership today, I'll take shots on Molton Bolt. Maybe I'll even take a shot on Corpy also. I think Swayman's going to be my favorite guy today.
Right. But of course, whenever you take shots on these cheap goalkeepers, don't be shocked when they get pulled. Don't be shocked when they give up four goals in the first period.
I will be, because I have been, cheap goalies have gone well for me this year. So I will be shocked.
On the higher end on the slate, I'm not sure. I'm looking at our projection of the lineup HQ. I'm not sure how owned the 9K guys are going to be today. I think if you want to get Austin Matthews at low ownership, I think Toronto, it's a bad matchup against Boston, but I can never fault anyone for playing Austin Matthews, because he could score a hat trick out of nowhere, but he's not going to project as well. The Oilers are obviously in a good spot against Columbus, but they're on the road. McDavid may not be as owned as he would normally be because of the size of the slate. I'm more interested in like Kucherov, Jack Hughes, because now that they finally price, Kucherov is now up to 9,700, and he used to be in the high 8Ks, low 9Ks, but that the Tampa Bay lines, like, I'm very interested in this game in general, on both sides. With Stamkos now joining line one, Stamkos was hanging out in line three for a while. But now, remember, I like when I get even strength correlation plus power play correlation in the same line. Stamkos is only 6,400. I think as a value is, I don't mind playing Stamkos. Give me line one. Give me Hedman. I can play Cirelli instead of Point. Right, I could play a Stamkos, Kucherov, Cirelli, Hedman line for Tampa Bay, and according to our DraftKings stack value page, for the high end, really expensive, Tampa Bay rates out the best on the slate. I have no problem targeting the Calgary Flames, and also I have no problem playing Flames against the Lightning, because it's not like they're defensively sound either. The problem with the Flames is, very similar to the Hurricanes and the Kings, is that good luck figuring out who's going to score. You got, guys on line one that don't play on the power play one unit. You got guys on line three that play together. They spread out the minutes, the time on ice fairly well amongst the top three lines. But I don't mind playing, maybe not in a correlated way, but I don't mind playing a Backlund or Mangiapane one off. Or like Sharangovich or who, I mean, all these guys are like kind of in the 4K range. And then you got some defensemen. Like, I don't mind playing Uyghur or Anderson. Probably Uyghur on the power play one more than Anderson. But I don't mind playing these teams together. Like, I wouldn't mind, even though it's a 12 game slate, to play, you know, a Tampa Bay four man with two Calgary Flames, the Flames guys on the other side. Cause I think out of all these games, this may be the high scoring.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I like the Lightning are my favorite stack on the slate tonight. I don't love Calgary as much. If I was going to stack them, I would, yeah, like either probably line one or line two, but like even like Huberto and Sharangovic actually project a little bit better than the line two guys do. So I don't really want to play Calgary at all, if I'm being honest, but I think Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov are probably my top stack on the slate. And I don't even think it's crazy to do like, I probably wouldn't do a secondary, line three power play two stack with them. I'm just going to keep it with line one.
Right. I also believe the Lightning. I think the Lightning are only going to play. If I'm looking in our Discord, I think they're going to play with only 11 forwards. So they're going to play 11-7. So maybe I don't know if it's going to matter that much. Just maybe a little bit more ice time for like the top six guys. So that's always a little bonus.
I take it back. I think you can do a Nicholas Paul, Michael Iseman, and Darren Radish mini stack as a cheap three man to pair with a Minnesota.
You always like these added. It's a 12 game slate.
I can get a correlation with guys under 3K. I'm going to take it so that I can pair them with Boldy, Eriksson Ek, and Kaprizov, or McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Hyman.
If I'm going to do that, I'm going to go to the San Jose Sharks. I like this. Like, this is another game that I like both sides of. The Islanders, line one, right? I've done well with the Islanders. The Islanders weren't as owned as they should have been the other day. But you got Horvat, Barzal, and Nelson. You could always throw Palmieri in, although I think he's a little bit overpriced. I mean, their defenders are whatever. Maybe play Pulock or something like that. But the if I want to play a cheap team, I love playing teams against the Islanders. The Islanders aren't a bad team, but they do give up a lot of shots. So as long as the Sharks don't get into penalty problems, like Duclair, Zetterlund, Granlund, Eklund, they're fairly condensed in how they play. And all these guys are cheap. Granlund's 4,700, Zetterlund's 4,400, Duclair's 3,700. Like I feel like I'd rather play power play one of a correlation of a bad team than play like the line three guys, power play two guys of a good team. And I definitely like playing teams against if the Islanders are going to average giving up like 25 plus shots, 30 shots, no matter who they're facing. I mean, the Sharks aren't a volume team, but they create volume, and that's what the Islanders do. Now, obviously, the Islanders can come out and just completely wax the Sharks. I mean, obviously, that's the case. But both sides of this, I think Sorokin, paying up for Sorokin, I think he'll be a fairly popular goalkeeper as well. But I don't mind playing Kakanen on the other side. Is the Islanders Sharks, it's the latest game on the slate. Is this a game that you have any interest, or are you going to tell me, TJ, that you like the Islanders, but you'd rather play Mike Riley, Pierre Engvall, and John Gabriel Pageau because you just like going to your dollar general?
Well, see, here's the thing. So I do like San Jose, and I will say their line two is I do like them better than Tampa line three. Zadina and Kunin I would rather use as my sub 3K guys if I need to, but the argument you made before doesn't really make sense because of course I'd rather play Duclair, Zetterlund, and Granlund than Tampa's line three, but I can't play Duclair, Zetterlund, and Granlund alongside an Edmonton line one or probably or a Minnesota line one. It's not doable. The funds don't work. And so if I want to play Edmonton line one, or I want to play Minnesota line one, I need cheaper than Sharks line one. Sharks line one isn't cheap enough. The 4,400, 4,700, that's not going to do it in those lineups. And so maybe Duclair is
maybe,
a one-off.
Maybe the issue, TJ, is that Edmonton is overpriced. And maybe that's the, maybe it's not that you're trying to find the cheapies and it's just like, maybe you're just overpaying for Edmonton.
Not if Connor McDavid scores three goals and Draisaitl adds
well,
in
do you
one
know
or
that's
two. Because
are you the Connor McDavid?
Of course not, but I'm shooting for ceiling in a GPP because I want to win my GPP and they're the highest chance likelihood guys to do it. It's either Tampa, Edmonton, and Minnesota have the three lines with correlation on the power play and line one with ceilings higher than any other team on the slate because they're really, really good. And so if those ceilings hit, I want to have access to them. The only way I can get access to them is a cheap line. So I'll do the San Jose line two that have the power play two correlation. Sure, it's not great that power play twos often don't play as much on some teams, but they also have their even strength correlation. And usually if a line that cheap just scores one goal, even on a 12-game slate, that's good enough as long as your top stack scores. So obviously you don't need them if you're doing a Islanders line one stack or a LA line one stack or a Pittsburgh line one stack or Carolina. You don't need to go that cheap. But if you're playing the very top stacks on the slate, you got to find those cheapies. And if they have even strength and power play correlation, no matter how, even if it's only for 13 minutes a game, I don't mind taking those on those shots.
I could get on board with the Minnesota stuff. I think a guy like Kaprizov may be less owned today because of like more people play Kucherov.
Yeah.
Like it's gonna be very hard for you to build a Kucherov Kaprizov lineup. And same for like Boldy and at like 7K. I think Boldy will actually be more owned than Kaprizov on this slate, but you know, they're facing Arizona. Good matchup. Of course, Arizona has Clayton Keller back. Like they move their lines around just a little bit, right? So Gunther is on line one with Cool. Okay, so basically, these Arizona lines really don't like line one, line two, line three. Just like, you know, you could change these up. I mean, like they play you know as much time you know equally in a way, but. You know, playing Brock Faber, like you play Faber, Boldy, Kaprizov, Eck. I mean, it really depends on what I feel like there's. I think what's going to end up happening is that a lot of it depends on what you do with the Kings, because I think at the center position, like we take a look throughout the, you know, like that down the list, it's like, what cheap centers are going to be like popular? There's Sorelli, right, on Tampa Bay.
I mean, wish Lars
obviously
Eller
Jack
was still
Hughes
a center
that you're paying up
winger.
For that. I wish
Eller was still a center as opposed to switching to a wing, because he'd be the cheap guy that I want to get to today. But as it stands, like, I guess that's a big reason why we're talking about LA and Carolina, right? Because you sort by point per dollar. There's Sorelli, like you mentioned, in fourth, but above him it's Dubois, Danault, and Drury, two LA guys and a Carolina player. So the cheap
you
guys.
Also have you have Kopitar also. Like LA has three viable center eligible players that project well. So, like it makes me feel like I'm more like just from a leverage standpoint. More likely to play like someone like Joel Eriksson Ekstrand, like pay a mid-range center, play a Horvat, something like that, because I think there'll be a lot of constructions where you're paying up at center and then playing one of the King centers, you know, playing Denault or playing Dubois, mm-hmm. playing one of these guys, playing Sorelli. I think getting a little bit different while still playing the same teams by playing someone like Eriksson Ekstrand. Like playing an act, like it's to me, it's hard to play Minnesota without Kaprizov. But I almost feel like Erickson, Ek, Boldy, Faber, and then you play like a more Fiala type lineup where maybe you don't even play any of the Kings centers. I mean, I think I'm overthinking this just a little bit, but I just don't like getting stuck. You know, when I'm building out 6 to 8 lineups tonight, where I'm getting stuck where every lineup that I'm playing like ends up with a Kings center. And if those centers get there, it's most likely they're getting there with like their line mates. And I don't have their line mates because I'm playing some other team. I'm just using them for like just cheap value. So finding a way where you're not using cheap centers and then playing cheaper wingers. So like, it's more likely that, let's take a look at lineup HQ. Like we take a look at the center position, like who you'd be paying up for. Like there's not much up here other than like obviously McDavid, Matthews, stuff like that. But like you got Braden Point, you got Hischier. We'll talk about the Devils in a second. Aho, Horvat. Like I almost feel like I'd rather be in this range, Crosby, then go like double punt center, because I think a lot of people are going to go kind of lower level, you know, these the Granlin, Backlunds, Kopitar, Malkin, Nugent Hopkins, you know, these types of people, even Kadri or something like that. I just don't want to get stuck in kind of these very similar constructions. But I don't know. I mean, like, it really depends on the size of the field that you're playing. Like, so when you're playing smaller field stuff, like I have no problem, you know, playing a cheap King center, and if their line goes off, as long as it's not heavily owned, I'm still fine as long as my team does well. But in the larger field stuff, like in the larger field stuff, for instance, TJ, for the Penguins. Like, if I play Eller and Raquel, like, it's hard for me not to play Sidney Crosby. Because I feel like if both those guys, if you get both Eller and Raquel with a goal, or three goals between them, like, it's hard to say that Sidney Crosby's sitting there with, like, less than 20 points because he's the one assisting those goals. He's the one on those lines. So I try to avoid those situations.
Yeah, after seeing how the center position kind of shakes out, I take back what I said earlier about liking maybe the Eller, Pustinen, and Raquel stack, just because it's really hard to do with all of them being wingers. It is easier to either include a Malkin or include a Crosby. And Malkin is somebody at that price tag that I don't mind as a potential one-off or a mini stack, a Malkin, Pustinen, or a Malkin, Riley Smith mini stack. But a couple of the other one-offs I don't mind here. We talk, like, Braden Point is obviously going to be my favorite guy here, and I'd love to stack him up as much as possible. But I think other guys I would go to just on their own is Horvat, like you mentioned, maybe Aho on his own. But then Nazem Kadri and Tage Thompson a little bit cheaper are probably my two favorite.
Another team that maybe worth targeting today, if we take a look at, you know, reload the stack values page, which you can get if you're a premium member. I like sorting by value, right? So we see here, sort by
LA, 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 LA,
right? Right, you see LA, LA 3, LA 2, LA San Jose, LA power play 1, San Jose power play 1. But we start seeing like the Devils, like line 1. I mean, the thing about both line 1 and line 2 and the power play are viable, but they've become a team. We take a look at the starting lineups page that, I mean, you really only need to really pay attention to the top two lines, but it's kind of a mishmash, right? Like, his year's not cheap anymore. His year used to be in the mid 5Ks. He's now 7,100. And then line 2, obviously, I prefer Jack Hughes. But this line gets very, if you're going to play power play 1 correlation on the Devils, I mean, you're getting up, it's going to be almost as pricey as like Minnesota, right? If you're going to play Hughes, Hischier, and and Brad and Toffoli. I mean, like, these guys, like, you're not getting a break anywhere. And then also on the defender side for the Devils, I mean, Nemec is not even in the, like, it's not even, I don't think he's even playing anymore. But really, like, Luke Hughes, like, the guy doesn't do anything. I mean, like, the guy that, like, essentially he's there, like, does he get assists? And if he doesn't get assists on the power play, he gets nothing, right?
And he usually doesn't get assists.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
so it hurts my total lineup construction because it's hard for me to even pair a defenseman with my Devils lines. That I think I'm much more likely to take a shot on getting the right Hurricanes players. Can you play Jack Hughes as a one-off at 9,500? I guess. But on 12-game slate, I feel like, dude, if Jack Hughes puts up 40 fantasy points, like, it's hard for me to say that no other Devils get there. Like, how does that happen? Right? On a 6-game slate, it's a different story because there's less opportunity cost. But here, it's like, I feel like I do not want to play any of the higher price options in a non-correlated way outside of maybe Austin Matthews, because Austin Matthews can actually get there without anyone else getting there.
Yeah,
more than anyone else. Like, even McDavid, I guess you could play as a one-off, although I'd prefer correlating him because he's more likely to get multiple assists. But I mean, like, I'd much rather, like, to me, Kaprizov, one-off, beautiful. Pasternak as a one-off, no problem, right? Nylander, you know, all the guys that, you know, that had 5+ shot bonus type play. It's like, dude, they could get, like, dude, I don't need assists, right? I mean, the guy could get there on, you know, Kaprizov could shoot at 8 shots, 2 goals, and no one else gets there because the assists, you know, they go around and whatever.
When Minnesota lineups too, like, these Minnesota guys are strong one-offs, especially Kaprizov, because their line correlation is so expensive. And so, say you get caps off with 40 points and then the other guys have 20. Well, you might be fine not having the other guys who have 20.
The last team I wanted to touch on, I may go overlooked. I don't know. It's hard for me to say on this slate because I think stuff is going to be spread. I think stuff is going to be spread out enough. And even when it comes to the Hurricanes and the Kings, there's enough options on those teams that I don't think anyone is, like, if you say, oh, the Kings are going to be popular, but it's not like they're condensed. It's not like Edmonton. Like, if Edmonton's popular, Connor McDavid is 25-30% owned because who the hell else are you playing on Edmonton, right? You see Draisaitl and Bouchard and all the power play one guys, right? If Boston is popular, like, it's Pasternak, right? On LA and Carolina, you could say maybe all these guys are around 10% owned, right? You look at the Kings and you go, there's 8 of them that are 10% owned, but there's not one of them that's like 20%+ owned. It's a team that I think is condensed. I like playing. They're doing well. The Sabres, pretty good matchup to me. Or maybe people just don't go back to Nashville Power Play 1. I never mind playing Roman Josi. I never mind playing Philip Forsberg, right? You can mix in whatever you want from there with a Nyquist. I mean, there's not many people that you'd play on Nashville. It's kind of like 5 guys that you would even consider. It's not like we've seen the Sabres give up 7 goals in games, so they're playing at home. I'm not sure how owned the Predators are going to be today.
Interestingly enough, there's 3 teams on the screen right now that I think are very viable in tournaments. And so the Predators, I think, are a great call. I love their line one correlation. Josi is my favorite defenseman to spend up on in the league. And so I'm with you there. I at times like taking shots on their cheaper lines. I don't think I need it tonight just because it's not like Nashville's in that great of a spot.
Oh, TJ, Dollar General. As Dollar General, you don't want Evangelista.
It's almost as if your assumptions about me are incorrect and I'm just right. But I don't think I need Nashville the cheapies tonight. Definitely not 3. Maybe line 2. Maybe Cody Glass and Colton Sissons, but I don't think I need it. And so line one would probably be the one I'd go to the most. But I don't hate the idea of stacking up Skinner, Tuck, and Tage Thompson either. Dahlin is another defenseman that I love paying up for. Even maybe just a Dahlin and Tage Thompson mini stack, I think would be interesting on this slate. And then we don't have the full power play one line correlation anymore. So it does make it tougher to choose. Do I go line one or line two? But I think with both of us knowing we like Tkachuk the best, Tkachuk finally has one of the stud line mates on his line. Tkachuk's got Verhaeghe with him now. And so I think Florida going up against the Flyers, especially if Ersan might end up being a little bit chalky as a cheap goalie, I think Florida 2, Bennett, Verhaeghe, and Tkachuk with either Ekblad or Montour is a very, very interesting stack today for tournaments.
And you'll take that, and Anton Lundell will score, and Barkov and Reinhardt will score. Panthers are another team where you play them and you play the wrong defender, right? You play Montour and Ekblad has a good game. You play Forsling and Mikkola has a good game. Ekman Larson out of the blue has two goals, right?
That must just be you, because when I play Florida, the guys that I want to score.
How do you do that? Do you have a magic power?
Yes, I do. It's
at least you're honest. At least you just said, yeah, you're right.
I only bring Spider-Man out for the Spidey bombs in baseball, and we're getting close. It's almost baseball season, I don't do hockey Spidey bombs, but he does give me some inside advice.
So Spidey doesn't have the goal. Who's going to score a goal? Like you do the home runs for baseball.
Tkachuk scoring a goal.
Okay. Oh, so that's the Spidey. If there was a Spidey bomb.
Yeah.
It would be Matthew Tkachuk.
He's going to score a goal. That would be like the third one though. I'd pick something a little more obvious for the first couple. That'd be the second.
So Matthew Tkachuk isn't obvious enough.
Florida's not in a great spot tonight. Matthew Tkachuk would be the second Spidey bomb, I think, if we were doing hockey goals today. The first one would be Braden Point. And the third would be Lars Eller.
Okay, so Lars, so that my question would be, like, you have to give out a goal for a player that's under 4,000.
That's four Lars Eller.
So that's Lars Eller, even though he didn't do anything the other day.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, I was good. I played line two mostly. I just played one lineup with line one. And I'm like, oh, the Penguins are scoring a bunch of goals. And it's Riley Smith and it's Malkin and Carlson's with 2.8. Crosby had 3 points. Eller had 1.5. And I'm like, okay. And those line one was more popular. So like I was good with the line two stuff. Anything else that you see on the slate that you think we should point out? I mean, other than obviously sign up for RotoGrinders Premium, you'll get all of our projections. I mean, Dane has literally updated the projections, I think, three times since this show has started. So, I mean, get on board and, you know, keep on refreshing. Come back at 4 or 5 o'clock at night. Get all the goal rushes. He's already posting the defensive pairings for the Sabres in here. I mean, if you're not joining the Discord, which is free, which shouldn't be free. RotoGrinders.com/Discord. I mean, dude, you could go there and you could, with our projections, you don't need to know anything about NHL. Look, at the start of the season, I didn't know anything about NHL. I play like I know a lot more than I actually know, right? People come and look, you listen to us for 30, 35 plus minutes. You think I know something. Like, no, you wait until I pronounce a name wrong and you'll go, oh, okay, this guy doesn't watch the game at all. And you're right, I don't.
I feel like we kind of crushed everything. We talked about everything we need to. The last thing I would want to kind of hammer home is my favorite cheap goalie today, Montembeau. It's not just because I like saying his name for the Canadians. I think at 6,900, he's my favorite cheapie.
Right, if we take a look at the projections for goalkeeper, obviously highly variant. On the high end, I guess Bobrovsky against Philadelphia. And on the low end, yeah, Kemper for the Capitals. But of course, remember, it's goalkeeper. The range of outcomes between the cheapest goalkeeper and the most expensive goalkeeper are very narrow. And, right, I mean, Jake Ettinger was the most expensive goalkeeper for the biggest favorite at 8,500, and he had negative 11.5 points. Right.
Phil Kessel is signing with Vancouver. That's funny.
Well, if you want more of the news, join the Discord. Hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to always know when we go live. DJ, you're on NBA Grinders Live. You're on Crunch Time tonight, right?
Yeah, I'll be on Crunch Time tonight. And then if you haven't caught it yet, I was also on the Morning Grind with Tim. So you can watch that for more NBA content this morning if you haven't gone to that one yet. And then I will be doing another live Morning Grind tonight with Will because Stevie is out not feeling well.
You're like our Swiss Army knife. You fill in, produce here, an article there, show there. It doesn't matter the sport, right?
That's the goal.
And then what ends up happening is you'll be on MMA Crunch Time producing on Saturday, right? And you don't even watch MMA, and then you'll just listen to whatever Mike says and win money and just what? Okay, I don't know what's going on. We got a big card on Saturday. 14 fights as of now. UFC 299, a lot of really good fights. Well, I'll be talking with Sport Patrol tomorrow about that, but it's a card to look forward to. I think it's going to be a very entertaining card to watch. I think it's going to be very good for DFS, especially fingers crossed it stays at 14 fights. I think we may get a solo, you know, 200K or whatever the first place on DraftKings. Because there's a lot of combinations, and I'm not sure if the chalk is good. I'm not a big good chalk, bad chalk, but there's going to be a couple of fighters that are going to be heavily owned that I'm not sure should be heavily owned. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. So hit that thumbs up button. Like I said, give me the thummy thumbs, and I'll be back tomorrow talking about all things you're thinking about. Daily Fantasy Props and Pick'em on Roto Grinders today.